Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Last week and this week is just setting ourselves up for that conference. Last week I talked about the greatest command. Loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And we looked at how do we do that? How do we love God with everything? And that was great. Today we're looking at the Great Commission. Last week was the Great Command. This week is the Great Commission. These two directives are foundational to the Christian faith. The Great Command and the Great Commission, they apply to all Christians everywhere, not some Christians somewhere. These apply to everyone. Some aspects of our calling are unique. These two are not. These are for everyone. They are for all. They go beyond the lines of denomination. They apply in every nation. And they apply in every generation since Christ and until Christ comes again. To love God and to love his mission. The Great Command and the Great Commission apply to everyone. They are not great options. They are the great imperatives. If we are to really know what it is to live with purpose and meaning in our lives, we have to get these two right. If we're to have an impact in this world, to make a difference for God, if we're to be a kingdom of light, we must first, everything comes from love. And we must be about God's business. And so that's what we're talking about. This week, we're looking at this second one, this Great Commission. So let me just read it to you. It's found in the book of Matthew, verse 28, 16 to 20, and it says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And I think there's more. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. The age. Even to the end of the age. Now, what you need to understand about this passage, okay, this is incredibly powerful and incredibly important, because these are the final words that Jesus ever spoke to his disciples. Imagine that. For thousands of years, Jesus's life and ministry had been prophesied, had been planned, had been prepared. For thousands of years, humanity were waiting for this moment when Jesus would arrive. He arrives and he spends 30 years growing and training and from a boy to a man. And he was growing in favor with God and with people. And then for 3 years, he spent 3 years, only 3 years, ministering and raising disciples who could go and change the world. And then that leads him to a cross, where he dies on a cross. 3 days later, just as they had prophesied hundreds and thousands of years before, they prophesied that he would rise again. And yes, Jesus did rise again. And he spent more time with his disciples. And it is in this time, after Jesus had died and rose again, that he said these final words before he went to be with his Father in heaven. In other words, I think these words are important to us. I think if there are any words that we should really listen to, it would be the final words of Jesus. What's his heart? What if you could say something, if you could have some final words to give to someone, what would that be? What would Jesus, of all the things in the world that he could share with you and I, what would his final words be? The Great Commission. They carry incredible significance. And he chose these words over everything else that he could have possibly told us. The kids having fun, are they? Oh, Karen. So I just want to quickly share with you a few things that I notice about God's heart through this passage as we read these scriptures. What are some of the final things God reveals to us here? God reveals to us his heart to reach all people everywhere, not some people somewhere. God's heart to reach all people everywhere. It says in that passage, doesn't it? It says, go to all, I think it'll come back up on the next slide, Chris. Go to all nations. All nations. No longer was the revelation of God to be restricted to one nation. No longer was the relationship with God restricted to one nation. But God says, now I want my word, my relationship, my love, my message to be available to all nations, to every person, everywhere, Jew and Gentile, everyone in the world. That's who my message is for. Jesus wants to be in relationship with all people everywhere. And God's plans never fail. God's plans never fail. He will always achieve that which he has set out to achieve. His heart is to have relationship with all people everywhere. And as we just spoke about, he did it and he achieved it and he accomplished it when he died on a cross for our sin. And he gave his life for our sin so that everyone, regardless of our walk, regardless of our background, regardless of our sin and our mess, can step into a relationship with God. It is no longer protected from us. We can be in the presence of God. I love this passage in Isaiah chapter 2, I think it is. Verse 2, it says, I think it's on the screen there, Chris. Oh, no, it's not on there. I'll read it from here. The word which Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come to pass that in the last days, so again, remember, this is written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus even spoke these words. Now it will come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the highest of mountains and will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house, to the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It was prophesied, God's invitation for people to know him and to follow him was there all along. And now in Jesus, the Great Commission is revealed. God wants his love. He wants everyone to be in his presence. I love the verse in John 3:16. It says, God gave his one and only son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Would have everlasting life. See, the heart of God is that his love is for all people everywhere, not some people somewhere. That means everyone. That means the person in your workplace that doesn't yet know Jesus. That means the person in the playground that you're stood next to. That means the person in the part of town that you try to avoid. It means everyone. It means every person is invited to walk into and step into the love of God. And there is only one condition on it. There is only one condition. And that is we must choose to believe. See, God won't force his love on anyone. God doesn't force himself on anyone. He's made it clear. If you would choose to believe in me, put your faith in me, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:15 says, whoever confesses and acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Second thing we see in this passage is we see God's heart for expansion. So committed to the expansion of his kingdom, Jesus empowers his disciples with all of the authority in heaven that has been given to him. With all of the authority in heaven and earth, I command you, go and make disciples. Go and reach the world. Go to all people. He is passionate for expansion. And we've talked about our heart as a church for expansion. I've shared with you our expansion vision. It's our mission. It's our co-mission. Or we might even say it's our go mission. To go into all of the world and to love and to serve and to reach people for Jesus. Mission is not just for the missionaries. That's what it used to be. If this was 50 years ago, maybe you might have seen a clipboard, a notice board over there with pictures on of people that are around the world somewhere, and we thought mission was for them. Mission is for everyone. Mission is for all of us. It is for the husband or wife with a spouse who doesn't have faith. It's for the person who lives next to someone. It's for the businessman or woman leading their company employees. It's for the parent on the school run. It's for the student in their school, college, or university. It's for those who find themselves working with the most vulnerable children and adults in the world. It's for the office clerk who's eating lunch in the staff room with the same people they eat with every single day. It's for the people who others may have undervalued. It's for those who feel they're not good enough. It's for those who others have rejected. Mission is for everybody. I hope you're catching the heart of God in the Great Commission. He wants all of us to be about his mission. Just look at the first disciples, okay? I don't know if you can remember the first disciples. No rabbi had ever picked them. They were not educated in the education system of that time. They had fallen out. They got to age 12 and the rabbis had decided they were not good enough. They just had to go and be about their father's business. They had to go and become fishermen and taxmen, and they just did everyday jobs. They weren't allowed further education. These were the disciples. They were not trained by the religious elite. They were not the obvious choices, and yet Jesus picked them and he also picks you. If you don't feel like the obvious choice, welcome to Jesus's crew. They're not people that everyone else would choose, but Jesus did. Fishermen, tax collectors who were hated. Jesus was like, oh, I could use them. They got business skills. I could use that in my kingdom. He sees your potential, and you may feel undervalued. You may feel like you don't have a lot to give. Let me tell you, Jesus can see your potential. Every single one of us are part of his mission. If Jesus' mission is for them, then his mission is for you. You are the expansion that God is looking for. You are the expansion God is looking for. And lastly, we see God's heart to be with us. God knows the human condition is prone to fear and weakness. And so he says, I will be with you always until the end of age. I'll tell you a story. As a kid, I grew up, I lived in the loft. Well, I didn't live there. That's where my bedroom was. I had a loft conversion. And I used to sleep with the light on because I was scared of the dark. I didn't like the dark. And I'm not talking like little kid. I was a bit more grown up. But I didn't like the dark. And so I'd sleep with the light on and I'd be up in that room all on my own. And there were times when I would just get so scared all on my own. And I would hear things going on in the loft that was surrounding my room. And my imagination, as you can imagine, is crazy. So I would hear a noise, and all of a sudden I would believe 100% that there was a dangerous man living in the loft next to my bed on the other side of the wall. And I would be terrified. And so I'd scream out, Dad, can you come up? And my dad would come up the stairs, and sometimes I'd be so scared he'd have to actually physically climb into the loft, turn the light on, and then get me to put my head into the loft to see that there's no dangerous men living in our loft. I was scared of the dark, and I would hear the wind rustle in the bags, and I was convinced there's someone looking through my stuff. There's someone in my loft. And you know, when you're on your own in the dark, it can be so scary, right? But when you have somebody with you, do you notice how everything just suddenly changes? Like suddenly you feel safe. It doesn't matter who that person is. I could have called up Mum. And all of a sudden, it didn't matter how many dangerous men were in my loft. She was there with me. And I felt safe. And I felt comforted. And I felt like I was not alone. And this is the power of presence. When you are with somebody, you can face anything. You feel safe. You feel comfortable. And this is what Jesus says. I will be with you always whatever it come against, whatever you go through, I will be with you. It's the power of presence. It works in physical darkness, but it also works in the darkness of our circumstances and situations. When you go through it with someone, oh, it's so much better. It seems like it's bearable. It seems like it's safer, like you can make it happen. And God promises to be with us. I'll tell you another scary story. When I was in America, back when I was 18, still scared of the dark, and I was in America, and we were in like rural Peoria, is that how you pronounce it? And we were just living in dorms there, and I was part of a course, and all the team had gone out. I can't remember what they were doing, but they were not there. I was there alone, and I was in the dorms, in my bed, on my own, and it was dark, and I was lying there. And all of a sudden, I heard the door creak, and I heard footsteps walking through the rooms. And I just froze. I was absolutely terrified because I knew nobody else was on site. So who is walking in my room? And I couldn't see the door. There was kind of a wall behind my bed here. The door's over here. And all I can hear is the footprints. And I froze. And I mean, literally, I was 18 and I was scared stiff. I just led that. And I don't know what it was. It was something so scary. I was just like, and I couldn't even move. I couldn't even budge. It was like my body had completely locked up. And the only thing I could say was Jesus. And I just repeated the word Jesus three times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And instantly, it was like the darkness left. Suddenly the noise stopped and I could move again. And I don't know what it was to this day, but I do know that knowing that the presence of Jesus was with me changed everything. It's the comfort that comes from knowing that God is with us. And so the three things I noticed from the Great Commission is that God's heart is for everyone. God's heart is for everyone. Maybe you've got a person in mind. Maybe you've got a friend or a colleague or a family in mind. Maybe you know somebody and you think, oh, they would never want to be a Christian. They would never want to come to church. I could never imagine them singing songs about Jesus. It's for them. His heart is for everyone. God's heart is for expansion, and God's heart is to be with us. He is calling us to go and share the gospel. He is calling us to compassion. He's calling us to expansion, and he's calling us to live as missionaries in our world, to take up this go mission. I remember another story for you. When I was learning to drive, my driving instructor used to say to me, and I knew the answer that he wanted, but being me, I didn't want to give him the answer he wanted. So I'd give him another answer that I knew would wind him up, because he was really old fashioned and really strict. And so he would say to me, Chris, what does red light mean? Stop. What does amber light mean? Get ready. What does a green light mean? Go. Great, you pass. What do you do when you are approaching a green light? And I know what he wanted me to say, but I didn't want to say it. So every single time, right up to my test, I'd say to him, speed up in case it turns red. He hated it. He literally every lesson, Chris, we slow down when there's a green light in case it turns red. And we're conditioned to slow down. We're conditioned to stop. We're conditioned for safety. But God's saying, I've given you a go. I've given you a green light. And I want you to go. I want you to go and reach the world. You have all the authority. You have all the power. There's no red lights coming from me. Why don't you go? Serve your world. Love the world. Share Jesus with your world. I have given you a go. But there are things I've experienced in my life that will stop me from wanting to go. Am I right? Maybe these. I'll just share them with you quickly. But there are things that try and stop me from going. There are things that try and stop me from doing the Great Commission. And I want to share these with you quickly. You might recognize some. You may be able to think of others. But the first one is this. I'm too busy with distractions. That stops me from going. Too busy with distractions. So many times. The other day, even, I woke up and I, no joke, I had 100 notifications on my phone. 100. So I started going through them, deleting them, you know, responding to them, all of those sort of things, getting rid of it all. But by the time I'd finished, the kids needed to be woken up, needed to get them ready for school, needed to go and do the school run, did a school run, got back, went to work, did work all day, got home, sorted the kids out, got the kids to bed. By the time I'd sat down in the evening to spend some time with Anna, I was exhausted and wiped out. I thought, God, I need to spend some time with you before I even open my Bible. I'm fast asleep. And I was so busy with distractions, with notifications, with things going on that I had missed my opportunity that morning to just really be quiet in the presence of God before my day. And I get so busy with distractions and it stops me from going. I spent the whole day not even thinking about God because I was so busy doing. And so we can easily become distracted with things that get in our way at times. Another thing I've noticed in my life is I can often be too doubtful. Do you remember the disciples in the boat, in the storm? Jesus is in the boat with them, and yet they're still there panicking, thinking they're going to die. Jesus is in there. They know his power. They know what he can do, yet they're still panicking. And I find myself like that. I can be a believer, but yet unbelieve. You know, it's like I believe God can do anything, but yet when I'm facing my own circumstances, I'm like, God, really? Are you good? Can you break through here? Can you do this? And so I can find myself being an unbelieving believer. And maybe I'm not the only one in the room today, but that is just true. I remember this one time I was in Manchester, and as I was walking through the city of Manchester, I saw a guy who was disabled. He was begging on the side of the road. His knees were inverted the wrong way, so they were kind of going outwards. And I felt God say to me, Chris, you need to go and pray for that man's healing. Do I believe God can heal people? Yes, 100%. Have I seen God heal people before? Yes, 100%. Have I heard stories of God doing miracles before? Yes, 100%. In that moment, when God says, go and pray for that man to be healed, suddenly unbelief rose in me. What if he isn't healed? What if it goes wrong? And my doubt stopped my go mission. It stopped me from doing what God said, and I just walked past. And then I got back and I kicked myself and I was in my hotel room. I said, God, if he's there tomorrow, I'll pray for him. And he wasn't there. So I missed my opportunity for a go mission to pray for someone to be healed. And I just say, oh, sometimes I doubt myself too much and I doubt God too much. The other one is this. I'm sometimes, and apologies if this is news to you. I know you all think I'm perfect, but sometimes I can be too self-centered. Sometimes I can be too self-centered, too focused on me. Amy does this to wind me up. I hate it. It's the worst phrase in the whole world, but she keeps saying it in my house. And I, even though she's 18, she's an adult and she can do her own thing every single time. And if you're in my house, in my roof, you'll never say that again. And it's the phrase, just do you. You do you, boo. You do you. Grates on me so much. Just do you. Don't think about anyone else. Don't care about anything else. Don't worry about if what you're doing or how you're being in any way is affecting anybody else in this world. You just do you. You be you. Boo. Oh, I hate it so much. So whenever there's an argument in our house, Amy's like, just you do you, Dad. You do you. Oh, just let me, yeah. It's one of those ones that I don't feel. It just doesn't feel right for me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 15 says this. Because we want Christ to be honored, worshipped, and obeyed, we submit every other attainable goal to him. Our decisions are no longer controlled by our selfish desire, but by new desires we get from his love. I'm not just going to do me. If I just did me all the time, there would be a lot of hurt, broken people around me. If I just did me all the time, I would not be where I am today.
to live with a go mission mindset is to care more about Jesus' mission than your own. So I just want to finish this message by giving you a couple of real practical examples of how do we live out the go mission, the commission today, this great commission to go into all the nations, to make disciples, to teach them to obey and follow Jesus. How do you and I do that? What's our personal part to play in that mission that God has called us to? That all-important mission. That mission that was so important to Jesus, he made it his final words to us. How do we play our part in that? Well, here's a couple of quick ideas for you. The first one is this. Do the good thing every time. Do the good thing every time. Kind acts, kind words, praying for someone, blessing someone, just being there for someone. Whatever the good thing is that pops into your head, if you felt like God popped it into your head, then do it. I'm just going to pray for you. I just felt like God wanted me to just put my arm around you. I just felt like God wanted me to buy you this coffee. I just felt like I wanted to buy this shopping for you. I don't know what it is, but if a good thing comes into your head, just do it. If you do the good thing every time, you're on the way to fulfilling the Great Commission. When you do good things, it creates incredible opportunities for great conversations, meaningful conversations that make a difference, and people can discover your faith and why you do the things that you do. Galatians 6 verse 9 to 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. Do the good thing every time. The second thing is this. Do the pray thing every day. Do the good thing every time and do the pray thing every day. I once heard a quote, somebody said, I don't ever pray for longer than 30 minutes, but I never go 30 minutes without praying. It's this continual communication with God. God, I'm just going to pray. God, right in my moment where I am at, God, I just pray about this situation. I don't speak out loud, but all day long, continually just thinking prayerful thoughts towards God. Prayer is about placing our trust and dependency in God's power and in his presence. Imagine God's power and his presence like bookends to the Great Commission. Without his power and without his presence, we're going to try and do the middle thing all by ourselves, in our own strength, and it's going to fail. We need his power and we need his presence. And prayer is the way we access his power and his presence so that we can live our lives according to his plans and purposes. And the final thing I want to say as we close is to do the disciple thing yourself. Do the good thing every time, do the prayer thing every day, and do the disciple thing yourself. You can't disciple someone if you first are not a disciple. You can't lead someone somewhere where you have not gone before. Paul in Corinthians says, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul understood the importance of being a disciple and helping others learn how to be a disciple of Jesus. He says, I'm going to follow Jesus. Follow me as I learn to follow him. And that's Paul's really captured in one sentence there at the heart of discipleship. To live lives that other people can copy. And when they copy those lives, they get closer to Jesus. And so we've got to be disciples ourselves, learning, growing in our faith in Jesus. Your personal journey, your personal story is so powerful. It's so powerful. And when you allow God to work in your journey, in your life, and in your story, and if you begin to share your story with others, it can transform and change lives. So, what can we do? What's our part to start this great commission in our lives? Do good, do prayer, and do discipleship. And we've come up with a way to help encourage and champion that cause here in One Church Keynsham. And we're going to reveal it to you now. Get excited. Drum roll, please. Da-da-da-da-da-da. It's the Let's Go Board. Yay! We should definitely have more excitement for the Let's Go Board. For the next 3 months, this board is going to be here every week. And I want to encourage you every week to think about who you can invite to church. Maybe it's you just feel like God's asked you to do a good thing for somebody. Maybe you've had a meaningful conversation with somebody about faith. every single time that happens and you say, oh, I invited someone to church, it doesn't matter if they come, that's not the point. But if you invite someone to church, maybe you had a great faith conversation with somebody, maybe you did a really kind, good act to share God's love with somebody. When you come to church, I want you to come quickly before the service starts, come to the Let's Go board. And behind the Let's Go board are a bunch of Christmas lights. And I want you to just put your light through the hall. And my heart, my hope, and my prayer is that over the next 3 months, this board will be full of lights, completely lit up. We'll have to drill more holes because of the amount of great conversations you and I are having. The invites are going out, people we're inviting to church, good deeds that we're doing for people, meaningful conversations that we're having every week. God, I'm going to be a person of expansion. I'm going to be a person who loves you and loves your mission. I'm going to be a person that shares my faith with others, shares my journey with others. I'm going to be somebody that does the good thing every time, does the prayer thing every day, does discipleship for myself. And as you do that, will you believe with me that we can fill this board full of lights as we just share the love of God with our world and our community? We're going to light this place up. We're going to light this community up. We're going to need another Let's Go board over there. 3 months won't be enough for us. We're going to need 6 months to keep it all in, because we're just going to be, God, we're here to make disciples.